God's word is a person. You can develop a relationship with the word. The more you give yourself to the word, the more you find out it is God himself and it is life itself. The word will make you what it talks about. Listen to the anointed man of God, Reverend Tony Nwagu, a man with rare gift of revelation, making known tangibly the presence, the life, and the power of God by the word. Hear and be healed in Jesus' name.
All right, so the book of Acts 19:20. Let's read together. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. That's in verse number 20. But we can't take this word on that level. We need to have a background. Why is this word spoken? Amen. Are you there? So let's, in the beginning of that passage from verse 1. If you look at verse 1. Paul came to Antioch and finding certain disciples, then he said, I'll ask them. And what did he say? And it came to pass that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he asked them a question. Verse 2. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard as there be any Holy Ghost. Amen. Then verse 3. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. And he said to them, John's baptism is unto repentance. He said unto them, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance. Amen. Saying unto the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. John's baptism is what? Unto repentance. Glory be to God. Then they heard this. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6. And when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they speak with tongues and prophesied. Everybody say amen. Let's read verse 7. And all the men were about how many? Okay, let's read verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning who? The kingdom of God. Let's read verse number 9. And when divers were hardened and believed not, that it means when different numbers of them, there were different people in the group, diverse people, praise the Lord, they were hardened and believed not, but speak evil of that way before the multitude. He departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Are you still there? Let's read verse 10. Everybody, please. So that all there which dwells in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus. Both Jews, they heard what? But you notice in verse number 8, he said he was disputing the things concerning the kingdom of God. That's what he said. But in verse 10, he said he was preaching the word of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So the things concerning the kingdom is what? The word of the Lord Jesus. I'm giving you a background, then I introduce to you what I'm talking about. Amen to Jesus. Praise the Lord. So the things concerning the kingdom is what? The word of the Lord Jesus. Now, when you hear the word of the Lord Jesus, it actually means the word of that which Jesus has done. Jesus and what he has done. Praise the Lord. What does that mean? Jesus and what he has done. Now, that was what he was teaching. And that was what he was disputing concerning the kingdom of God. Amen. Are you still here? All right. So, when the Bible said, so mightily grew the word and prevailed, that was what he was referring to. He was referring to what? the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Said in a better form, it was referring to Jesus and what he has done. Okay, are you still there? You know, it said something. It said, so mightily grew the word. All right. Now, when you look at the ministry of Paul in the book of Acts of the Apostles, especially when the Jews cried and then against him, there was one particular case. He said, this is the man who is teaching men to against Moses. He said, he's teaching men against who? Against Moses. He's teaching men against the land of Israel. So crucify him, kill him. And they were making charges on Paul. But why were they saying that Paul was teaching against Moses? The reason why they said that, it looked like Paul was against Israel. He was against Moses. But he wasn't. Moses is the pinnacle and the representation of the law. Praise the name of the Lord. And what Paul was preaching was against the law. So it was against Moses. Praise the name of the Lord. And that is the foundation of Israel. So if it's against Moses, then he's against the land of Israel. Praise the Lord. But that was not what Paul was against. Paul, in the place of the law, was presenting what Jesus has done. And in the place of Moses, or the Jews, was presenting Jesus. Amen. So, and that was what was difficult for the people to see. You remember in the ministry of Jesus, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the ministry of Jesus, you notice that is the synoptic gospels. There is a purpose of the gospels. If you read it, there's just something that Jesus that is in that gospel. It's three basic things that is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look at the three things. Who he is, who sent him, and what he has come to do. Amen. What is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Who he is, who sent him, and what he has come to do. What is in Mark, Luke, John, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Who he is, who sent him, and what he has come to do. All right. Now, if you read it carefully, I just will give you a few examples. In the book of John, chapter 5, verse 36 and 38, let's just substantiate that. Are you going there? Are you going there with me? All right. The book of John 5, verse 6. Let's read together. Actually, John 5, 36. I said 36. John 5, 36. Let's read together. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works, that's John the Baptist, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father sent me. Okay, did you read that? Okay, let's read 38. And you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him he believed not. So you notice the emphasis. In 36, what was the emphasis? He sent me. The work I have come, he sent me to finish. He sent me. What is in verse... Okay, look, go back to 36. Let's just get that very clear. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father had given me to finish, the same work that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father... That's the emphasis. The Father sent me. Okay, let's look at 38. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye... What's the emphasis? He sent me. You know, in 36, he sent me was there. And then the work was there. Do you understand? Then in verse 38, the emphasis was, he sent me. So, you notice I told you, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is about who he is, who sent him, and what he sent him to do. Praise the Lord. Let me give you another background in the scripture. The book of John chapter 8, verse 24 and 28. John chapter 8, verse 24. Let's read together. Everybody want to go? That you shall die, for if you believe not that,
I am who he is. You shall die. Remember, the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is talking about who? Jesus. On what ground is he talking about him? Who he is, who sent him, and what he sent him to do. And over here in 24, he said, you will die in your sins if you believe not that I am he whom he sent. Amen. You don't believe that he sent me. You don't believe that he sent me to do this. And you don't believe what I have come to do. You will die in your sins. Are you listening to that? Okay, let's look at verse number 28. And Jesus said unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, do you understand that? When you have done what? When was he lifted up? On the cross, at the crucifixion. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he. Again, emphasizing that he is the one. Okay, praise the Lord. Now, we can stretch it further. Okay, let's just read 30 and 31. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Okay, which words? The word of what he is, or who he is. The word of who sent him, and the word of what he had come to do. As he spake these words, those are the words. Because as you read chapter 8, read it down, you will see that's what he's talking about. That's what the gospel is all about. And then when he now, as he spake it, as he was saying it, the Bible said, many believed on him. Then he said something, verse number 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you do what? If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. Which word? The word of who he is. The word of who sent him. The word of what he sent him to do. If you continue in it, then ye shall. Then are ye my disciples. Then if you continue. Then Jesus said unto those Jews who believe on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Then the next verse, verse 32. And you shall know the truth. That's how you get to know the truth. It's continuing in who he is, in who sent him, and what he sent him to do. Then you will do what? Know the truth. And what happens? The truth shall set you free. From the law. So what will the truth set you free from? From the law. Because it's the law that is not allowing them to see him. It's the law that is the point of the argument they had with him. It is the law that is the ground of the division they have with Paul. In the different synagogues where he approached and saw certain disciples, the divisions were always based on that. Are you listening to me? Everybody say, praise the Lord. Say it like you believe it. So look at this. The word of God grew and prevailed. Okay, so the word of God is the word of Jesus and what he has done. Are you listening? The word of God is what? The word of Jesus and what he has done. Okay, look at this. You know, that scripture said it grew and prevailed. Let me now give you the background I want to give you is the growing word. Are you hearing me? What's the background I want to give you? The growing word. When do we say that the word begins to grow? And we need to understand this so that we can move forward from here. Are you here? You're here this evening. Can I have you say praise the Lord? Come on, say it like you believe it. Now listen to this. When Paul began to preach this, the word of Jesus, and the people began to hear and receive. Now, as you begin to hear and begin to hear, then you begin to see yourself and see what you are supposed to start doing or what you're supposed to stop doing. Are you listening? You're hearing about what Jesus has done. That's beautiful. But you are still in the picture. You are still in the subject. You are still the subject. So the background is, you are hearing what Jesus has done, but it's what Jesus has done and you. Now, as long as you stay there, you will get to a place you will be tired and you'll be weary. You will get to a place you will just say, you will be confused. And then you, because as it's growing, what Jesus has done, what Jesus has done. But as you're seeing it, you're getting excited. You're getting happy. You're getting excited. You're getting happy. You're jumping up and down. But you're increasing in activity. And you're seeing more of you. You will continue there, but after a while, you begin to get tired. After a while, you begin to get weary. After a while, you begin to ask questions. That's what will begin, that will begin to happen to you. Now, some of you who have done and stayed there and have begun to question and have begun to get tired, as I'm saying, you know yourself. But listen to me. It's not what Jesus has done and you. No. It's what Jesus has done and Jesus. Jesus and what he has done. So look at it. As I begin to talk about what he has done, it's supposed to reveal Jesus. What he did replaces the law. But who it's revealed, him, replaces you. So the law stands for your activities and your works. Are you listening? Not just codes or rules, but it stands for your activities and your works, whether positive or negative. It's about you. It's about you. So at the end of the day, who is emphasized in the law is you. But who is emphasized in what he has done is him. So as you remain with you and what he has done, you will grow weary. And at that point, the word has not started growing. It's as you begin to see what he has done, know what he has done, and to see him. And to do what? See him. You never known the beauty of life until you begin to get the glimpses of his face. You know, you think the beauty is the car, the beauty is the house, the beauty is the clothing. You will find out the vainness and the emptiness of these things. Because the older you get, the more you realize the emptiness of this world. Do you understand? Come on, are you listening to me? But look at this too. In this one I'm talking about, the older you get, the more you shine forth with the brightness of his glory. Because listen, are you still here? You are not changed by the multitude of your activities and your actions, on the positive and the negative. It can better your life in the natural world, but that's where it ends. So that's why it can never substitute and replace the gospel. And then the gospel is not about, it's not about rules or principles or keys. Rules, principles or keys are good. They can help you. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus and what he has done. So now as I begin to say it and minister it, then you begin to see him. Are you listening to me? Look at what the Bible said. You are transformed. How are you transformed? As you behold him. It's in seeing him that you are transformed. Do you know that? Let's read it. Let's just read it as we go on. Remember, I'm talking about on the ground on which the word begins to in you. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Are you sure you're here this evening? Is your heart here? Something good will happen to you. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The last verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Okay. But we all, everybody read, with an open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. So you are changed as you behold Him with an open face. Do you understand that? Contradiction. You notice the word open face is emphasizing Moses. Moses, when he stood before the people, he had a veil on his face. Moses had what? Because of the brightness of his face. As a reason of the presence of the Lord that was upon him. So he covered his face. Are you still there? So the veil. Say the veil on the face of Moses. Okay, look at how you describe it. If you stand before the brightness of a sun, can you imagine yourself standing before the brightness of a sun? Hello, hello, are you here? You stand before the brightness of a sun, and you're looking into the face of the sun, and the rays and this brightness is shooting out. What do you do? May I ask you, do you do it in joy? If you're really standing in the face of the sun, and this brightness is over you, so you do it in shame and in grief and in pain. Do you understand that? So that was the case of Israel. When Moses stood before them, he veiled his face because the brightness was too strong for them to behold. So the Bible said the veil on the face of Moses became a covering on the face of Israel. So until this day, as the law is being read, the face of Israel is covered with a veil. Do you understand that? Everybody say, praise the Lord. Now on that count, he now says, but we all with what? An open face. Now look at why it was a veiled face. Because Israel couldn't do the word of God. Israel couldn't keep the law. So the law reminded them of failure. The law is a picture of pain, shame, and defeat. Are you listening to that? So this, just make sure you're hearing me. This is the background. I'm laying the background that we will build on. Are you listening to me? And let the saints say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say it like you believe it. It was a picture of pain. It was a picture of shame. It was a picture of failure. So that was why they covered their face. Amen. 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 So, but now open face. Why the open face? Because it's not talking about you. It's not talking about me. It's talking about Jesus and what he has done. Well, it's an open face because you're not the one to do it. He's the one that has done it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So as you begin to behold him, as you begin to behold him, the Lord Jesus, you are transformed. But how do you get to see him? It's by what he has done. Immediately, I begin to talk about what he has done. It emphasizes him. Are you listening to me? And then as he emphasizes him, it captures you to begin to look at him. And in seeing him, you are transformed. So listen, he replaces you. And what he has done replaces your works. Amen. So, if you're going, the word is going to begin to increase in you, grow in you. It is when there's a change, and then you stop seeing you, and then you begin to see him. Then, that's the point where the word begins to grow. Until then, it's your works growing, your activities growing, your performance growing. And like I said, you will get to the place you will be tired. And then you ask, is it all that there is? I think the best thing is just to die and go to heaven. You begin to announce your own death. But immediately you come to that place where this begins to happen, the point of growth comes in. Then you will discover, beholding him, it's an amazing thing. Listen to this. He reveals the Father. Who reveals the Father? Jesus. What reveals him? His death and his resurrection. The Father is known by Jesus. But Jesus is known by his death and resurrection. So if you want to see him, if you want to know him, this is what reveals him. Do you understand that? Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say it like you believe it.
Hallelujah.
So, did you capture this background? What was the background we talked about? The point of growth. The point at which the word begins to grow in you. Did you get that point? Come on, talk to me. Did you get that point? Can I have you say, praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Say it like you believe it.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So with that said, remember, so mightily grew the word. Growing word. That's the growing word. That's from whence it begins to grow. You don't know. Just as you're here, measures of you is still on you. In different degrees and in different forms. You're still. Do you understand? But the growing word, measures of you begins to diminish and to grow smaller and smaller and smaller. Say amen. Say amen. Say it like you believe it.
Amen.
The point of what? The growing word. The point of what? The growing word. The point of what? The growing word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I think I should emphasize. I should give you more on that. So that you can appreciate it further. Do you understand? All right. In the Old Covenant, say with me, Old Covenant. Okay. There, you notice, how many of you remember Samuel of old, the priest of Israel? Can I have you raise your hand? You remember the Bible said, Elkanah, the mother of Samuel, didn't have a baby. But her, the other woman that was Benina had how many sons? Well, 7 sons. He had many children. And then that woman didn't have a single one. But they are required to go to Shiloh. Amen. You remember the storyline? And then when they go to Shiloh, then according to the number of children you have, the male children, they will slaughter the lamb for each of them. And then they will eat. So those family was enjoying herself. That woman and her kids were having a good time. But the other woman, no baby. So nothing. So she always, Shiloh brings tears to Elkanah. And then the woman began to cry. And Eli the prophet came to her and said to her, why are you drunk at this hour of the day, woman? And the woman said, I'm not drunk. Thy handmaiden is not drunk. And then the woman began to tell the prophet, the priest, her ordeals and her problem. And then the priest said to her, by this time, in the order of life, you will have a baby. And then after 9 months, she conceived and gave birth to Samuel. And she made a vow to God. He said, if you give me this baby, that was what she was praying, I will bring him back to your house. And I will give him to you. And the woman fulfilled her. God kept his word. Gave her a baby. And then she brought the baby Samuel to God in Shiloh. And dedicated him to the service of the sanctuary. Amen. Do you remember that story? Now, I'm going to talk to you about Shiloh. What happens in Shiloh is every family comes with a lamb. And when the lamb is slaughtered, the blood will be shed and it will cover the sins of the people. That's what the preacher was talking to us about atonement. Atonement is covering of sin. Amen. Not remission of sins, but covering of sin. So the blood of the lamb will cover the sins that have been committed by the people. So they will have a clean slate to leave for the year. Are you still there? Everybody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Then, if at the end of the year, they will have to come back. So they come year by year. Because the blood of the Lamb cannot totally eradicate sin. It only covers it. Are you still there? But look at what Jesus did. When Jesus died, glory be to God. You know, John said, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world. So when Jesus died, he came as the Lamb of God. That was how he came. But when he hung on the cross, he hung as the serpent. Amen. Are you still there? He was made sin. Glory be to God. Amen. So he came as the Lamb, but died as the serpent. Now he hung as the serpent. That was why the picture of the serpent on the cross. Amen. That was what Moses did in the wilderness. When they were beaten by the serpent, he now molded a brazen serpent and then put it on the tree and lifted it and said, if you will behold the brazen serpent on the tree, you will be healed. Glory be to God. That was a picture of the Son of God who was made sin on our behalf. He that knew no sin, God made to be sin, that we should be made the righteousness of God in him. Are you still there? So right away, when the blood of Jesus was shed, in comparison, the quality and the preciousness has no comparison. Amen. Are you still there? Are you still there? The lamb covered. Amen. But lasted only for a duration, because they have to do it again. But that of Jesus was so precious that it covered the span of eternity. Glory! So it totally took care of sin. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Let me have you say it. The blood of Jesus. It was a full payment. And in comparison, because of the preciousness, it took care of every act of sin. Did you hear me? Amen. Remember, when they do that, they kill the lamb. It covers the sin. And it gives them a grace of life. It covers the sin and does what? A grace of life. A grace of life means you can function now. You have grace. Function. They'll be functioning. They'll be seeing goodness, seeing mercy, because they have grace. But they will have to come back and then cover sin again. Amen. Because they always go back to sin. Because it's covering, it's dealing with the act, but the nature is still there. Look at what Jesus did. When Jesus did, he took care of all the acts. But look at what he did to the nature. He removed the nature and gave us a new nature. The nature that was responsible for the sin is the nature of sin. But it's rooted and expressed, are you still there? By self-righteousness. How is it rooted and expressed? Self-righteousness. So when he came, he shed his blood, are you still there? And gave us grace for life. And after he gave us grace, he took the nature of sin that we had and gave us his own nature. Gave us his own righteousness. He took our self-righteousness and gave us what? His own gift of righteousness. His own righteousness. So that's why, what do we have now? Say with me, abundance of grace. And the gift of righteousness. Why is it abundant? It's abundant in comparison. The other one covered only but for a time. And we have to go back. But because of the preciousness of this, it covers for all eternity. Because of the quality and the depth of it. So say abundance of grace. That's what you have. Then the next thing you have is called what? The gift of righteousness. So it took care of the nature and it took care of the act. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But listen. You will always be forced to go back to your self-righteousness. All of the time. So what will prevent you from going back to your self-righteousness is seeing him. As you see him, you will hold the gift of righteousness. Are you listening? As he begins to diminish in your sight, you go back to your self-righteousness. Are you still listening to me? Now, if you continue to hold back yourself, righteousness, what will that do to yourself? It will mortify the deeds of the flesh. That's called crucified flesh. And that's why the Bible says, Galatians chapter 5. Don't worry, you will not be lost. Are you following? Are you here? Say, praise the Lord. Okay, Galatians chapter 5. 24, okay. And there, let's read it together. One, two, go. There that are who? Have done what? Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Before now, our nature was sin. We had the nature of sin. And why did God give us the law? That sin may abound. Do you understand that? What does that mean? That it will prove without question that we are sinners. Because as we try to do the law, that nature of sin will come out. Do you understand? So the law is for that sin may abound. Do you get that? Alright. So each time we try to do the law, it will service our affections and will service our lust. How many of you have cars here? A car, a motor car. Hey! Are you still here? When you service your car, what happens to the car? It functions better. Now, each step you take to do the law services your lust and services your affections. It makes it more effective. Do you understand? All right. So, when you stop and cease from allowing yourself to engage in doing, what does it do to you? It mortifies those areas of your life. Do you understand? So it's mortified by inaction. Do you understand? Do you understand that? Now, that mortified body, mortified flesh, you know, it mortifies the flesh with its deeds and affection. And that's why he said, they that are Christ. Which people? They that are Christ. Are you still there? Who are they that are Christ? They who are born again. Praise the name of the Lord. Who are they that are Christ? They who have the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace. In holding the abundance of grace. In holding the gift of righteousness. Amen. You hold back yourself from doing. In holding back yourself from doing. Are you still there? Say amen. It mortifies that part of your body. It mortifies your flesh with its lust and affections. But how do you hold back yourself as you see him? As you behold him, you will hold the gift. If you cease from seeing him, you will increase in activity. Are you hearing me? Say praise the Lord. Say hallelujah. Now it is that point. That's like crucified flesh. Everybody say crucified flesh. Mortified flesh. Crucified flesh. Is in seeing him and holding the gift of righteousness. Now, that is the ground. That is the point where you have what? The growing word. Everybody say with me, so mightily grew the word and prevailed. That was what Paul was preaching. He was not preaching what Jesus has done and the people. He was preaching what Jesus has done. Jesus and what he has done. Making him known by what he has done. As you begin to know, hear and receive what he has done, you begin to see him. And as you begin to see him, are you still there? You start getting transformed. Because in seeing him, you hold the gift of righteousness. In holding the gift of righteousness, your body will be mortified in its lusts and affections. That's crucified flesh. Glory be to God. Then his beauty will be shooting out through you. His life will be shooting out through you. Did you get the point? Did you get the point? Can I have you wave your hand to the Lord? Say hallelujah. Say praise the Lord. Because, like I said, as we're seated here, we're filled with measures of ourselves. Each of us. And it's blocking him, not allowing you to see him. Say, I see him. Say it again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So mightily grew the word and prevailed. Do you see the point at which the word grows? Do you get it? Amen. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Don't worry, it's going to be very small, and I'll just introduce it, and then we will work on it more. I won't take your time. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. What verse is it? Let's look at it. It's verse number 6. Can we read it? As you have therefore... Okay, this means you're supposed to walk in him the way you received him. Do you understand that? How are you supposed to walk in him? Okay. Remember, I just shared with you the point at which the word begins to grow. Amen. I shared with you what? The point at which the word begins to grow. So it means then that as we are in him, there's something we should always guide against. And that's ourselves. Do you understand? As we are in him, what should we always guide against? Yourself. Okay. So if that is what we should guide against. Now, the Bible now says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so do what? Walk in him. Everybody say, amen. Amen. Say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay. If I tell you how you received him, and then I present it to you, for you to walk in him, is going to be a tool. It's going to be a means. If I tell you how you received him, I need to tell you why you received him. Then when you balance how and why, it will give you a life. Do you understand? How will make you have a tool, but it will emphasize you. Do you understand that? Okay, to help you understand, how many of you heard about that British boy whose mother is a black African, but he is very good in car racing? What's his name? Talk to me. Hamilton. Hamilton. Okay. How many of you have heard about him? Come on, if you have heard about that boy... Okay, he's very good. Okay, I think he drives for Mercedes. Okay, so now when Anthony Hamilton, I think that whatever, I don't know whether his name is Anthony. Okay, when he drives for Mercedes, he actually drives for Mercedes. And then, but he is a superstar in car racing. Are you still here? Now, usually when they talk about Anthony Hamilton, who do they emphasize? Anthony or Mercedes? No, Anthony. He is a superstar. Lewis Hamilton, not Anthony. That's Anthony Joshua, the boxer. But we're talking about Lewis Hamilton, the car racer. Whenever they talk about the champion, who is mentioned? It's Lewis Hamilton. In fact, recently I heard that he said he wants to go to drive for an Italian company, Ferrari, that he wants to change and go there. Who is the emphasis? Lewis Hamilton. So what happened? Look at this. It's no longer Mercedes. The emphasis is Lewis Hamilton, because the how it is emphasizing him. It's emphasizing why he's a superstar. His ability to negotiate, his ability to be stable, his ability to do this or do that, indifference to others who couldn't, that's why he defeated them. That's why at that longer Mercedes. The emphasis is Lewis Hamilton. And that's the champion. You catch the point. So the how will emphasize you. It will show how skilled you are. How your qualities has made you wonderful. How your qualities has made you that great man of God we know. Are you still there? And we will now long to be like you. Everybody will now be putting up effort to be exactly the way you are. But that's when you know how. But that's what will happen if I emphasize to you how. It will only, at the end of the day, bring you out. But that's not how the world grows. When the world begins to grow, who does it bring out? Jesus. Not you. Then you begin to diminish. You begin to do what? Diminish. That's, you know, the members of your body. The loss and affections thereof begins to become mortified. Are you still here? Are you with me this evening? Let me have you say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Say it like you believe it.
Praise the Lord.
Say the how and the why. Okay, this is the why. The why is Romans chapter 8. Now, therefore, there is no more condemnation for us. Who is where? In Christ Jesus. Are you still there? Then it goes on. For what the law could not do, in that it was weakened by sinful flesh, God, sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law will be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay, so let's just read it together. From verse 1 to verse number 3. 1, 2, go. Now, therefore. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are where? In Christ Jesus. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So listen, walking after the flesh is walking in the law, walking in yourself, walking in your activities, walking in your performance. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit? Are you still there? Verse number 2. Everybody go on. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse number 3. Everybody go on. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. This is the word of the gospel. What is verse 3? Say, what is verse 3? So I ask you, what is the word of the gospel? Say, for that which the law could not do, in that it was weakened by sinful flesh, God sending his Son, his own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh. What is that? Say, what is that? The word of the gospel. That's the gospel in a word. Do you understand that? So look at it. So where are you now? In Christ Jesus. Where are you now? As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. How do you walk in him? How did you receive him? You received him by faith. How did you receive him? Believing with your heart and confessing with your mouth. How did you receive him? You received him by faith. You received him how? How is faith expressed? Believing with your heart and confessing with your mouth. That's how you received him. That's how you're supposed to walk in him. Do you understand that? But if that's only what you know, it will be a tool. And that tool will emphasize you. But when you know why, are you still there? Then it will hold you from yourself. So the why and then the how will bring out Jesus. As you behold him, you are transformed from glory to glory. Do you understand that? Say amen.
Amen.
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
As you're seated here, you're all seated in measures of yourself. Measures of yourself. Measures of yourself. Measures of you. It's just that some it is higher. Some is what is there. The dominion is in different degrees. But you want the word. You want the word. And you're longing for it. And as you receive it, it will rest on that self. So the word will never grow. The point at which it begins to grow is when you begin to see him. Is it complex? Say with me. So mightily grew the word and prevailed. What he has done replaces your works. And him replaces you. I see him. Say it with me. Say it again. I see him. I see him. You know, as I'm saying this, you might get angry with me. You might not feel that's what you need. But you don't know what you need. You know, as you behold him, this world diminishes. As you behold him, sickness and disease diminishes. Because listen, are you listening? He was bruised for your iniquity. The chastisement of your peace was laid upon him. And with his stripes, you heal. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. As you behold him. What do you do in fellowship? In a greater majority of the time, in fellowship, you receive your needs met. You ask to receive. But the point comes when you begin to have glimpses of him. In fellowship, it will be to behold him. Now listen. As you begin to behold him, you will discover that the people who know you this year, this month, when they meet you next month, next year, by this same time next year, they're going to be stunned at you. And the stone will not be the clothes. The stone will not be the house. The stone will not be the car. The stone will be. Things might also have changed. You get a new house, a new clothes, a new car, a new this or new that, but there's a greater glory. Are you hearing me? You know what I'm telling you? I'm not lying to you. And I'm telling you, if you go on, the test of the pool is in the 18th. You test the two sides. And you will see and know the difference. Then you can make a choice. Glory be to God. I know where the boss of the other one gets to. But I also know where this boss gets to. Thank you, Jesus. Say greater glory. Say greater glory. The growing word. The growing word. Is it looking complex? Talk to me. Is it looking complex? Are you abreast saying something? You know, as you saw me read Colossians 2, verse 6, you would say, verse 6, that's what verse 6 said. Verse 6 is talking about how. But you know, if you read from verse 1 to verse 6, you will notice that from verse 1 to verse 6, the how came in because of the why. From verse 1, if you read it carefully, it's talking about why. So the why gives strength to the how. And the why and the how reveals how you remain in him and not step out. Because you step out sometimes. You step out into self and not remain in him. So lift your hands and worship. Just worship him. Lord, we glorify you today. And we bless you, mighty one. We bless your name. We bless your name, Holy One. Oh, Masikato Bosoto Granadasha. Ludepa Granetu Gomantu Janangi Atapa Kato. Rudepa Kiatu Tutu Barade. Libratu Subrande Gabashato. Lababonenta Kakanu Junokabaya. Baluko Pau Suprata Katamojata. Anakabontu Zotaya. Sukutabasu totai, Badutu to Prataka de Bojana, Menakutu Prandeyaha, Purukuton de Prateka, Basukubaso to Nakapa, and the Prateka Lamashita, Sisutu to Bragade Mataniata, Manotu Gabanaya, Manotu Gabadaya, Manotu Gabadaya. Matukuto Pratatuna Gade Bafaya. Let us turn in the Gabata. Matusu Prataki de Branota Gamana. And Tusuku Kubahashi Ataya. My Father. My Father. My Father, lift your voice to His name. Kalabashataya. Jesus. 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 Let's do it just two times. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Experience something different, strong and powerful every Sunday, 9 a.m. main service, Monday, 6 p.m. prayer meeting, Wednesday, 6 p.m. believers meeting at Here's a Better Things Church, 5 Odo Street by Stadium Link Road, Rumola, Port Harcourt. For these and other messages of the man of God, Reverend Tony Nwagu, please call +234 9099 251 775, or you can call +234 9099 043 977. Remain blessed.